You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
All right, everyone, here we go. Let's build that energy. Reverend James, hit the music.
Welcome to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, exploring the magical world around us only on the LMC Radio Network. There are so many fantastic, exciting, and curious things that make up this world we share. Come join us as we explore the spiritual, magical, and wondrous phenomena that enrich our souls and bring color to our days. I am your announcer, Reverend James of FolkConjure.com, located in Western North Carolina. And this week we will welcome our special guest, the sensational Reverend Roy of the Healing Amulet Mindfulness Center and HealingAmulet.com in Nashville, Tennessee, presenting Shamanic Journeying. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina, and our guest, Reverend Roy. Make sure you're logged into Blog Talk Radio and join in the discussion via the chat. Now, let's catch up with our host. Reverend Art, take it away.
Thank you, Reverend James, and welcome once again, everyone, to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, your Monday night delight. And that being said, it is Monday. You know what that means. Go on over to the Hoodoo Psychics Facebook page, find the Magic Mondays post, drop a comment on to enter to win your chance of a free 15-minute reading with the Hoodoo Psychic of your choice. A lot of great readers out there. And make sure you got to enter to win. All right. So we all made it in so far today. Knock on some, let me find some real wood here, not some press board crap. All made it in this week after the AI took us out last week. But before we get too far into things today, how are things going with you, Reverend James?
Well, like I said on the Hoodoo Root Work Hour the other day, got a ton of candles, and I seem to still have some clients coming to me, but a lot of love work seems that Venus retrograde through not too long ago still seems to be affecting some people. So that's what I've been up to. How about you, Reverend Art?
'Tis true. I have been a candle-making machine, spending hours and hours going through a lot of people don't realize that the vast majority of what we do with folk conjure and folk faith ministries, we do this by hand. We put that energy into it. We put that work into it. And really, you know, try to add that extra emphasis into the products and services that we craft. It's definitely a labor of love, and I have been loving the hell out of making these candles. Reverend James thankfully taught me how to. He is the master creator behind Folk Faith Ministries and Folk Conjure. He will look at things and just figure it out somehow. And these tools and items that he creates really are just fantastic. So hands off to you, or hats off to you, Reverend James.
Well, thank you.
And I, for one, am really excited for tonight's show. Joining us once again is our good friend, Reverend Roy, from the Healing Amulet Mindfulness Center in Nashville, Tennessee. You know, we're just talking in the chat briefly. You know, it's been since May since Reverend Roy has been able to join us. I know Reverend Roy and Papa G have had a lot going on this year. You know, Aroma G's, as well as the Healing Amulet Center, the YouTube channel, and so much other wonderful things going on. I'm glad you could carve out some time for us tonight, Reverend Roy. How you doing?
I'm doing really well, and I'm happy to be here. I can't believe it's been since May, but, you know, it seems like the last few months, days are only about 6 hours long. We're going through them quick.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. It's kind of nuts, but you know, why don't you share with everybody, what are some of the new things coming out of the Healing Amulet Mindfulness Center?
So I've been kind of pulling back, taking a break from healing work. And I've not doing any one-on-one healing sessions right now. I feel like it's kind of time for me to give that up. I've been doing that for 20 years, so I'm moving toward more of doing group stuff, group healing, and doing more classes, mentoring. You know, it's time for me to sage a little bit. So beginning the first of the year, it's going to look a lot different than it has for the past 20 years. So still trying to get my church
really
going.
Yep, I was just about to ask.
So the church itself, I mean, everything's done there. The paperwork's done. It's all good. And I've been going through and, you know, trying to picture what exactly this looks like, you know, what, because it's, you know, I never would want to use that word sermon, but what am I going to talk about? What am I going to do? And it's only been the past couple of weeks that the vision has become clear to me on how I want to handle this, the topics I want to talk about, you know, this roundtable format, a community, healing and growth. So, but we're already in November, so I don't know if I can get it going this year or not, because, you know, we're about to hit the busy season, so it may be January before I actually get that on the air.
Yeah, I've been watching with just kind of like giddiness as watching things develop, watching the how the temple has come together, you know, just really the work and the attention to detail that you put into everything that you do. It really is inspirational. As a fellow practitioner, I have to say, you know, definitely look to you for a lot of inspiration and growth, personally. So I've loved watching this journey, and I can't I can't wait to see what comes next. I feel that the Healing Amulet Mindfulness Center is going to be just an absolutely wonderful addition to the spirituality and the spiritual community of Nashville. You definitely bring a lot to the table.
I have hopes that this will take off. You know, everyone has these doubts when they start a new project. And, you know, it's like, oh, no, am I starting this? And nobody even wants to listen. Nobody cares. But, you know, I think it'll do well. You know, my own self-doubts jumping in. Do this. I'm going to do this, you know, streaming it. So, you know, that, you know, takes out the restrictions of it just being local people. And, you know, some days
right.
I have a lot to say, and it's just time for me to start sharing it. So.
You know, that was actually one thing that you and I had talked about before in one of our previous shows about that imposter syndrome and fighting your way through it and everything. I have no doubt that, you know, it's just going to continue to grow, much like your product line, which I have to give that a shout out. I'm definitely a fan of the Healing Amulet oils. Every time I get a chance to swing by, I always make sure to pick up something new to play with, something new to try. You know, you've got a lot of great stuff going, and it will just continue to grow. The products are of impeccable quality.
Oh, thank you.
And I can tell that it's much like what, you know, with Reverend James and I, it's a labor of love, and the detail that you put into it is just, it's fantastic.
Yeah, the oils and the candles are going over really well, and I'm hoping to get a few more oils added here soon. You know, now that, you know, I've got everything out, it's like I see some gaps, some things I need to add to it. So am I echoing? Is that what I'm reading here?
I'm not getting an echo. I did see a note from Troll T says he's getting a wee bit of an echo. Just a wee bit. totally appreciate the products that you bring to the table. Kind of curious, you know, what the future is going to hold. I'm sure we'll be seeing you on Facebook Lives a lot more and so on and so forth. So for anybody out there listening, make sure you are following the Healing Amulet Mindfulness Center on Facebook. Are you on Instagram as well, Reverend Roy?
So I'm going to, like I said, I'm backing off on doing individual sessions with people, which frees my time up to do more readings and also move the actual healing practice itself. A vision I've had for quite a while, and I don't know if I ever told you this, but was to start a men's healing center. And I think that is so needed. Doing men's groups, men's shadow work groups.
Oh, wow.
You know,
no,
things
you didn't
like
that.
You know, that's just, you don't hear of that a whole lot. So I'm trying to create that safe space for men to get healing, because men don't go to healing. You know, men don't go to doctors. And I don't go to the doctor either, but, you know, I'm trying to create a safe space.
That is phenomenal, and if I can be of any assistance, definitely reach out. That's breaking news on Mystic Mages and Magical Places. That really is a very needed development. You know, not to diminish, you know, the need for, you know, women's groups and such, but you know, even if you go and do a basic search on Facebook for different Facebook groups, there aren't many that are, you know, directly related to men. And, you know, from a psychological standpoint, a lot of men in the spiritual community have a hard time connecting. There's a group that Reverend James and I are part of here in Western North Carolina. Very few men in this group. And it was kind of funny because we have these meetups regularly. And one of the gentlemen was like, I didn't realize, because I've always felt like an outsider. I didn't realize there were this other people even close by. So definitely serving a community that is underserved in the metaphysical world.
I heard an interesting statement the other day from someone, and he was talking about, I don't know how to navigate the current world as a man. And of course, that perked my ears, knowing what I was already planning to do anyway. So there's another, you know, topic to catch up with. But, you know, that said a lot in that very small statement is like, you know, what are men's place today? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to act? It's about creating a space where we can explore those things and talk about those things. It's going to be different to everyone, but you know, a place where you feel comfortable asking these questions and getting opinions from other men. I have a lot of hope for it. I need to back down. I get excited when I start talking about it.
I think that's something you and I share, Reverend James. It's funny because, you know, we've had this discussion about, you know, you and I, the Aquarians, and Reverend James and Papa G being the Taurians, you know, keeping us in check when we're going off on these excitement circles. But, you know, I definitely relate to that. I think that happened, what, 3 or 4 times just this past weekend. Reverend James was talking me down off that adrenaline rush.
You know, I get excited thinking about this stuff. It's like, you know, but I also have a tendency, and I can admit this in myself, that I have a tendency to overthink it. It's like, okay, Roy, it's time to shut up and actually get this going now. I can't plan it to death.
That is the other half of it that I can also definitely relate to. But, you know, it speaks to the passion that individuals such as yourself, you know, Papa G, Reverend James, all have, though, for really the dedication to the community is huge. It's what motivates and accelerates these things that everyone's putting together. And, you know, just keeping that excitement alive and bringing these things to fruition, you know, it can be revolutionary. It really can. So
we have a lot of talk these days about divine feminine, and I think we need to start having conversations about what is the divine masculine. Well, we have to balance that. What goes with the divine feminine? So, you know, it's time to start having those conversations.
You know, building that balance, the yin yang sort of, you know, interaction. I know I've seen this, even the discussion come up several times in various groups, is what's the male equivalent of the maiden mother crone? And other than one interpretation that has been questioned as to its source material. There really hasn't been any kind of real delving into that, and it'll be interesting to see where this all goes.
I always answer that as Sun, Father, Sage. It's what resonates with me, and that's what I referenced earlier. I feel like I'm hitting that sage. So that's the reason I'm backing off, and it's like time to teach, time to lead, time to mentor.
You know, in the chat, Troll T actually throws in a really good point too, that, you know, he's noticed that the criticism of men that they never want to ask for directions may be applicable to life in general. They wanting to appear masterful and in control. Maybe I argue with Google Maps. But the wanting to appear masterful and in control may be self-destructive when men are in need of assistance and orientation. And that, I think, kind of gets to the crux of a lot of this is, you know, and I think I'm about to invent English here. It's not effeminating men to reorient, to provide this assistance and to be in a comfortable place to be able to ask for that assistance, ask for that growth, ask for help along the path. It's really, we're at, it's a different world than it was even 20 years ago. You know, change is accelerating. It's going to need a new paradigm. And I think this is one of those areas that you're proposing that really will bring, you know, kind of ushering in that the new aspect of male participation in spiritualism, spirituality, metaphysics, magic, et cetera, et cetera.
When I think about the men that were in my family, you know, the men around me that raised me and those kind of things, what I take away from, you know, when I say men don't want to go to the doctors, it's the lack of self-care and so forth. I think for a lot of men, it becomes an idea of I may not be perfect, and if I'm not perfect, I'm weak. If I go to the doctor and they find something, that means I'm weak, there's something wrong with me, you know, I'm not the perfect man. So I think a lot of that exists in the world.
And especially in the spiritual community too, is, you know, there's, I'm trying to think of the word. There's a lot of chest beating that goes on, and
yeah,
in no small part, you know, that's usually very much kind of piggybacked on the whole gatekeeping thing that we've talked about. You and I have talked about, as well as, you know, it's been on several shows that we've done, and I'm really excited to see the open arms approach that you're going to bring to this. You know, Nashville's only 4-hour drive. I will make that trip as often as I need to come up and assist in any way that I can. But
I appreciate that. I
am so excited for our topic tonight, and I could talk with you all night long. I think this is a good spot. Let's break for some messages from our sponsors, and then we're going to be back with Shamanic Journeying.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays 4 to 5:30. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voice, Tuesdays, 4 to 5. The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield in syndication, Wednesdays. And The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LaFay in syndication, Thursdays. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted root worker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Back to you, Reverend R.
I will get the mastery of the mute button on my phone yet. All right. Well, like I said, I really am excited for tonight's topic of shamanic journeying. It's like Reverend Roy and I were talking about briefly before the show started today. You know, it's shamanism is something that I've personally felt a very strong draw towards, but I haven't found myself in a position to be able to give it the respect that it deserves and the focus that I feel it deserves in studying. You know, I've done some reading and I'm really excited to learn more and hear more about it. We did do a show on soul retrieval, which is a fairly, known shamanic practice with Deb Voice. That was one of our earlier shows, if I remember right, very early on. And shamanic journey, it's kind of like taking this, adding another tool to that toolbox. So I will let you take this away, Reverend Roy, and just probably jump in with a bunch of questions.
Okay. So I want to say that I call myself a shamanic practitioner. I've had two teachers that taught me a lot of things. I don't really claim to be a shaman. There's a lot of different opinions out there about, use of that word. And so I just say I'm a shamanic practitioner. And prior to COVID, I used to lead a lot of shamanic journeys. And then, of course, I quit doing it during COVID. And then we rearranged the store, and I had no way to do it. But we've changed things back, so I will be starting that back up, that practice back up here really soon. A bit of exciting news for me, I've been waiting to start this back because I had a new custom drum made.
Nice.
Had a couple of sessions, meetings with a shaman that lives up in Pennsylvania, and he hand makes drums, and I was lucky enough to get in with him, and he reads you, he talks to spirits and talks about the energy that needs to be in your drum. So it's like custom made physically and custom made spiritually, and I'm really excited to start using that next month. So, shamanic journeys. Have you ever seen the movie Alice in Wonderland? That is a shamanic journey. That's what that whole movie is about. It's one of the oldest spiritual practices in the world, and it's done to connect with the spirit world, and it's done as a healing journey. When we talk about going on a shamanic journey, when I lead those, in some ways it's kind of like a guided meditation. I play the drum and, guide people on where we're going. But anytime you do a shamanic journey, we talk about non-ordinary reality, and that's where we're going. That's where this journey ends. And there are three levels to this, three areas of the non-ordinary reality. There's the upper, middle, and lower worlds. And in no way is the lower world and the upper world supposed to be considered heaven or hell. It's a very different thing. You know, and you find different things there in the different levels. The middle world is the world, the physical world that we live in now. But you can still journey to that. And when you do, you see what's missing in this world. You see the connections that are missing that should be there. You see things that live here that you didn't know were here. Are they saying I'm echoing again? I don't know what to do about that.
I think it's hit or miss. Some folks are saying yes, and some not. We shall tally forth.
So when I lead people on a shamanic journey, you know, we start somewhere. It's like a vision. Put yourself in a nice, happy place, a beautiful field, sunny day, and sometimes we'll go walk toward a tree, and, you know, I'm playing the drum, the hand drum all this time. And we have to find a hole. We have to find a way to get to this other world, this other spiritual world. So usually we go down a hole, just like they did in Alice of Wonderland. Sometimes I will lead people into going through a hole in a tree, and we work our way down. My favorite journeys are to take people to the lower worlds. That's where a lot of healing happens. The lower world is the reality there, or the non-reality, is where we're going to see spirits. It's a symbol of our universal consciousness. And I try to tell people to be very open to what they find there. You're going to see animals and plants there that don't exist in this world. You may have conversations with animals. You may see ancestors there. You may see your guides there. But it's about traveling through this lower world, seeing what you can see, experiencing what's there. There's nothing there that's going to hurt you. And if there's ever an energy or a thing you're not comfortable with, you know, you have to remember you're always in control. You know, if you see someone pop up that wants to talk to you and something about that energy is off, then you just say, hey, I don't want to talk to you, and you move on. So, but anything you meet in the lower world can have messages for you to help you with your life. It can have messages for you that take you on a healing journey. We often meet our power animals there, and it's really great to do multiple journeys. You know, keep doing those as a practice, because if you meet your power animal, then the next time you go back, the first thing you can do is ask for that animal. Where are you? Come with me today. And they'll start joining you every time that you go.
You know, I've kind of related this a little bit in my mind. I know you mentioned about the Alice in Wonderland sort of, you know, correlation there. You know, I've always had it in my mind as kind of like a, you know, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, through the wardrobe into Narnia sort of a thing.
Right.
So, question that I do have, you know, here kind of early on is, what, if anything, really separates shamanic journeying from astral projection?
So with shamanic journeys, we're talking about three very specific planes of existence, upper, middle, and lower planes. With the astral projection, you know, we're going to a place I mean, they are very common, but to me, they can be quite different too, because you know, with that, I've done astral projection, and I always end up with someone somewhere here on Earth. But then, you know, it's a different concept of a different plane to me. They're similar in the way you do it, but the destination is not the same, in my opinion.
Okay, that tracks. You know, it's a very intriguing sort of a concept, the shamanic journey. And Troll T in the chat did ask, you know, how are the journeys or travels different than dreams? And I tried to kind of personally answer from my basic understanding that, you know, this is when you're journeying, it's more of a meditative or trance-induced state rather than, you know, being in REM sleep.
It is trance-induced, and it's guided. That's the big difference. When you're going to someone else to do the journey for you, it's guided. When you have someone else doing the journey for you, I can do a journey for myself. I can drum and go into a trance state and all that, but it's going to always be easier if someone else is doing it, because you get to let go and you get to not think about it. You get to not move your hand and play the drum, so it's much easier to hit that trance state and go somewhere where someone's leading you, and you try. You get to lose that human need to be in control.
Very cool, very cool.
You know, one of the best sessions I ever had was, you know, when I talk about things being different, you find different things in the lower world. I one time saw a big plant, a big green plant, and at the end of one of its stems was the head of an alligator. And that me and that alligator stood there and talked. We had a conversation. This alligator spoke English. And we had a long conversation, and he told me some things in my life. That's kind of some of the things you can experience in the lower world. Different beings that talk to you and guide you.
Yeah, that's okay. You actually just answered one of my questions too about, you know, because, you know, I teach mediumship. You know, I teach that development from the mediumship standpoint. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about during mediumship training is developing a common language to communicate with your guides, with the environment around you, et cetera. So I was kind of wondering if, you know, we had to take time to develop that as well, while, I guess for lack of a better way to put it, while on a journey. But that would make sense, though, to be able to communicate. It's almost like a universal translator while you're in that trance state.
You don't have to worry about not understanding or not receiving the messages, because they will be very, very plain.
Okay.
You'll be able to understand
along
it.
Here.
And they're also a healing journeys. The people and other realities, they can help you on your healing process. They can tell you things that you may not understand about yourself. I was doing a journey with someone one time for a healing process, and, you know, we kind of both went in there together. We're doing this journey together, and we met one of his guides, which didn't look human at all, but we met one of his guides, and he was telling my client that, you know, you are having all these problems. You know, we were addressing different problems in his life and all this stuff. And he was saying, you need to tell Roy about what happened to your back, because all of this stems from that. Da, da, da. So when we finally come back out of this, you know, we had this conversation about what's going on with your back. Da, da, da. And several years earlier, he had fallen off a ladder that the ladder broke, and he actually broke it one part of his back. And he had blamed that on a previous partner in life, that the ladder had been rigged. But through that journey, we were able to find all the places in his life that this one accident had caused, because it caused problems in relationships, it caused problems in his jobs, you know, all of those things. And we were able to piece all of that together so he could start letting that go and start healing. And it can take you very deep into the healing process.
Very interesting. And is this something that would be, you know, over the course of multiple sessions, or, I mean, is it, you know, I do know a lot of people look to, you know, metaphysical practices, spell work, et cetera, for that quick fix on things. And I know myself, Reverend James, JD, and many others that have been on the show, you know, we always, you know, try to keep that tempered. You know, it's not a quick fix sort of a thing. So is this also something that it's a process? It's not the journey is not, I mean, this sounds like kind of oxymoronic, but the journey itself is not a destination. It is a process.
It is a process. You know, we humans, we're like onions. We got many layers. And each journey is going to go through, you know, maybe one layer, maybe two or three layers. And the more times you're willing to do this, the more healing you're going to get out of it. But you're right. People want a quick fix. They want to do one session, one journey, and completely heal everything in their lives. And that's not likely to happen. You know, sometimes we have to heal one thing before we move on to the next.
Right. And say person is doing this, or there's, you know, pushback and such, you know, is this a kind of, you know, working with spirit myself, you know, through in readings and whatever, spirit doesn't care what you want to hear. Spirit's just going to tell you what it is, and it's take it or leave it. Spirit's not going to sugarcoat it for you. Is this also something one can expect through the journey?
That, I'm not sure I followed you there about.
Is
the spirit's just going to give you what you need, not what you want?
Are the revelations as blunt, I guess, is a better way to put it?
They are blunt, yes. With these type of journeys, you are going to a different plane, a different way of doing things, and there's no need to sugarcoat. There's no need to be nice. I mean, even if we think about Alice in Wonderland movie, the beings that she met there were not nice to her. They were very blunt. They say exactly what you need to hear. And it's completely up to you what you do with it, what you take away from it.
Very cool.
You can follow
their
advice, but you may not.
So I'm kind of drawing, like in my mind, the way my mind works is, you know, I'm always drawing parallels to kind of to build the bigger picture of things around me. So is it safe to say that when it comes to these journeys to the lower realm, this is, it can be seen as paramount or in very close similarity to intense shadow work?
It could be compared to that, yes. It absolutely could.
It's about meeting those different sides of yourself, which you referenced earlier, soul retrieval. Soul retrieval is closely related to shadow work, because that is parts of your own soul that you hid away that you don't want to see and you don't want to feel and you don't want to talk about anymore. That's what soul retrieval is. It's about going out and finding those parts of yourself that you locked away somewhere. And shadow work does the same thing. We're just doing that in this reality with shadow work. We're not going to a different reality to do it. There's kind of three things, like there's three ways in my mind, what I do in my practice, there's three ways to do this. You can do a shamanic journey for yourself, where you have the drumming, or I mean, you could get a drumming CD as well, and go on your own journey by yourself. See who you meet, who you talk to. There are those shamanic journeys like I do where I'm leading people, and that could be an individual. So we have an intent there. We know exactly why we're going there, what we're working on for this specific person. And then there are group shamanic journeys. And generally when I do those, they are, they're not as exact. You know, when you're working with 10 people, you lead them to a place and let them find, each person find who they're going to find the place they're going to find, and leave them there for a while to see what, you know, see what comes up for them. Each person may find a different thing, but, those sessions are going to be a little bit different depending on, you know, what the intention, the original intention is. If it's healing of one person or, you know, a find out for a group of people.
You know, I have a CD that I picked it up in Lilydale on one of my visits there. And it's called Shamanic Dream, and it's a drumming CD. And I was using this for meditation myself, and I experienced deeper, I really don't have the language to describe what that experience was like, but I'm wondering, you know, I'm starting to draw the parallels to what you're describing, and it was probably one of the most intensive meditational sessions I think I've ever honestly had. You know, I'm going to share a link in the chat for everybody. It's going to be a shortened link on Amazon, a copy of the CD that I'm talking about. You know, I woke up. I shouldn't say woke up. I returned from that very much at peace, but also like just bawling my eyes out. it had hit a level of connection that I hadn't fully experienced up to that point. So I think I'm starting to feel as though, just from what, and this has been about 10, 15 years ago now, but from what I'm remembering, it's very much falling into what you're describing as that lower realm, that the healing journeys that, you know, it kicked a lot of shit to the curb for me. And now that I'm remembering this and following along with you, I'm that much more excited to kind of jump back into it and see what more can be discovered. It was intense. Like I'll have to share the whole story with you when we're not on a time limit. But it was like the trippy Alice in Wonderland type thing. And I'm starting to put together exactly what happened.
You know, there
awesome.
Are many modalities for healing. the shamanic journey to me is very tribal, because of the drum, going into the earth, and it brings you down. It takes you down into the earth. It takes you down into the lower realm. And in my, you know, in my opinion, in my practice, that's where most of the healing work will occur. Not trying to go up, but you know, it could be that it's not for everyone. You know, it's one of those experiences where you don't know what you're going to experience. You don't know what's going to be there, and you have to be willing to let go and trust it. And then at the same time, recognizing that it is your journey, it's your own journey. But you have to be willing to experience it and open yourself up to it. And you know, it could take several attempts for some people, you know, some people that have trouble letting go and hitting trance-like states, you know, it might take practice for some people to do that.
Right. You know, I don't want to run out of time for this. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we talked about the lower realm.
I didn't hear what you said.
No, I was sitting here thinking, you know, because we've talked about the lower realm and it's you know, well suited for, you know, that inner healing, that deep inner healing. You know, I was wondering about switching gears and going to the upper realm and, you know, what one could expect from, I guess, the journey up.
So my advice to people is always start with the lower. Get used to the journey. Get some healing behind you. Because when we're talking about the upper world, we're talking about, you know, peak experience, consciousness, creator vibes, spirit vibes, angels. It's that realm. It can be very beautiful. Going to the lower rim is a short trip. Going to the upper rim is kind of a long trip. You know, you're leaving the earth. You're going out into space. It's getting cold, and you have to get way away from this earth to reach that upper rim. So, you know, that's not what you want to start with, but it is a very beautiful place. When I've gone there, it's very, you know, white for me, a lot of light. It's, you know, that this is where spirit lives. And this is where the angels live, and, you know, whatever fits into your path. That's what you're going to experience in the upper world. And you just kind of have to be ready for that. Once you've experienced the lower world a lot, one of the great things you can do is enter the lower world after you got experience with this and leave there and come to the middle world where we are now and bring that reality with you, bring your power animal with you, and you will see the world we live in. You know, our physical world right now is a lot different than our human eyes let us experience it.
That's very true. That is very true. I've joked with people on occasion, you need like one of those Star Trek visors from the Next Generation, the one character,
right,
to be able to perceive more. But it's something that can be trained. But is it safe to say that a trip to the upper realm it will lead to expansion. It will lead to growth. It will lead to, you know, experiences like this where, you know, not forced. It will lead you to those things that inspire you to kind of light that fire under your butt, to, like we were joking about earlier, you know, that getting that Aquarian excitement going, you know, that 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 this is the realm of the muses and so on and so forth. Is that a safe kind of
Yeah, that is a very, very good way to describe it. It is about finding that higher consciousness, the true connectedness. And somehow I always end up using this as using Reiki as an example. But one of the things I teach students when we talk about chakras and stuff is this one can be open and closed. This one can be out of balance, da, da, da. That crown chakra, consciousness, connectedness, once it's open, you can't close it. You have gone somewhere that you're not going to come back from. And that's what the upper world is experiencing firsthand that complete consciousness, connectedness, God, Christ conscious, you know, whatever word you want to put on it. And it will change you, and it will motivate you to be a better person, want a better world, connect with people, and you just, I don't see any way you could ever lose that. And once you've experienced it, there's no going back.
That's phenomenal. Okay. There's some really great questions building up in the chat, but we're going to circle back because they're kind of like, I kind of want to touch on, so we've talked about upper, we've talked about lower. What can one expect from, are there journeys to the middle realm? I mean, we exist on Earth, you know, are there lateral journeys?
There's two types of journeys to the middle world. One, I referenced earlier, go to the lower first and come to the middle while you're still in the same trance state. And you can bring your power animals with you and your maybe whoever you met there, a guide or an ancestor or something. And they can show you things that you don't normally see here. Or you can do a journey just straight to the middle world. And in my experience, that is a very sad experience in a way. Quite the opposite of what people think. People would think going to the, because of horror movies, going to the lower world would be dark and scary and all that. To me, that's the experience with the middle world, because we see the world we live in and we experience what's missing from it. We're missing that connection. We're missing love. We're missing experiences. When we journey to the middle world, we don't see it as we see it now. We see it as it's supposed to be. And you can come out of that being very sad, actually. We see the world as it really is, not the way we live in it every day.
So pretty much just, it's like ripping that Band-Aid off and just saying, you know, accept, well, for lack of a better way to put it, accept the shit storm for what it is. You know, here's what is taking those rose-colored glasses off, smashing them against the stones and saying, here's what you've created, fix it. You know, find what's missing,
yeah.
Build those connections. I can dig this, honestly, and I think it brings about heightened introspection and as well as a heightened perception of understanding the human condition around you.
Exactly. And we also see the people as individuals that we may see every day, and we see that they're sad and they're lonely. You know, we can see that energy. We can see the real look on their face beyond the smiles and the masks they wear and, you know, the hair and the makeup, and we see who they really are. It's just, you know, this sounds like a downer in a way, but in a way it is. It really is. It's removing all the masks and seeing the world we live in for what it really is, and just how much we've screwed it up and how much we're not there for each other and how much we don't support each other and how much we don't know about each other.
I can also see it as a celebration, though. I mean, because that is a very powerful level of perception to have, and it builds that. I don't want to say it. How do I want to put this? It builds that the abilities for compassion. It increases your capacities for what needs to be done and helps to steer you towards those is what I'm getting from this.
Yes, and I would add it's only powerful if you intend to do anything with it. If you're going to say, well, that was ugly, I don't want to do that again, you have an accomplishment. It's a journey. We're supposed to learn on our journeys. We're supposed to change when we do our journeys. And if we just abandon what we saw, then, you know, we haven't accomplished anything.
So journey to the middle realm, be prepared to face the ugly and overcome it.
Overcome it. And, you know, probably face some of your own ugly too. I mean, what do you really look like without all the mask you wear? Do you know? Most of us don't.
Very true. You know, in the I'm just going to say the various climates and not meaning weather around the world. It especially in today's day and age, it really it's making me kind of wonder just how different the world would be. And here's me waxing philosophical. If everybody took one of these journeys, you know, whether you're a skeptic or not, and really allowed yourself that experience, you know, how much could we change? How much could we push that dial? I think it could be exponential.
I think if everyone took a journey to the lower or upper worlds, we would see growth. We would see people walking away from programming and tradition and saying, there's so much more than this. And if everyone took journeys to the middle world, I would hope we would see a lot of compassion coming out of that, a lot more than we have now.
So I think it's time that we start inviting people on journeys. I know definitely my practice is about to change. I'm finding a lot of untapped energy that this can bring to really continue to work towards being a force for positive change. This is fascinating, Roy. Honestly, absolutely fascinating. You've provided so much wonderful information thus far. Before we do run out of time, I want to jump into some of the questions that we have in the chat.
Okay.
And I like this question because it speaks to intention setting before going on a journey. You know, is it valuable to have a specific reason to go on a journey? What are the disadvantages and advantages of that? You know, is it are you better off going in kind of just accepting what happens? Or do you set those intentions?
You can set an intention when you go, and that's a very good thing. If you have something specific you want to know about or you want to start a healing process, it's also acceptable to go in with no intention and see where the spirits lead you, see what they have to offer you, what they have to tell you. Usually when I do a group journey, in some form or another, about the middle of the process, I will take them to, I don't know, like a place and say, here's a wooden box. Open the box and see what's inside for you. What gift does spirit have for you? And everyone that's there that night will get a different gift. So, you know, that's a non-intentional journey just to accept what's offered to you. And then decide what you're supposed to do with it.
Excellent. And, you know, I do know a lot of people, you know, as do you, you know, I also teach meditation and work with clients through guided meditation for healing and such. And a lot of people struggle with meditation. So there was another question is, you know, what are the best kind of means of practicing, or I'm going to add to that, achieving the journey trance states, the journey meditative states, you know, and I guess this is a place to throw in too, you know, is there a place for, you know, psychedelics? You hear about things like ayahuasca and others of that nature. What are your thoughts there?
So, in my opinion, trance states are easier than meditation. Meditation, you're kind of working with slowing the mind, quieting the mind, those kind of things. With a journey, you have music, you have the drum, usually a drum. So you can get lost in that rhythm. And we do the drum a little bit fast, and we say that is the heartbeat of the earth. We're doing the drum supposedly at the same rate as the heartbeat of the earth. So you can get into that. You can flow with that. So I think trancing is actually a little bit easier, a shamanic journey, than just straight meditation. As far as psychedelics go, you know, that's an individual decision. It has to be made. I'm not into that. You know, I don't knock anyone who does. You know, everybody's journey is different. But for me, I can meet with the spirits. I can be where I need to be without the use of psychedelics. You know, people have to make their own mind up on that.
I kind of get the feeling that, you know, for those that are, you know, they struggle to reach these trance states, they struggle to get into that meditative zone, might early in their practice kind of delve into the psychedelic assistance. But I can see how that would be a very much individual approach, an individualized approach. And as long as I'm just going to throw out the disclaimer, you know, folks, be safe. Know what you're doing before you start getting into some of these things.
Right. I would encourage people to start it without it and try to do it without it, because the use of, you know, psychedelics, drugs, things like that could become a crutch very easily. It's like, oh, I can't do it without this. Well, try it first and see if you can.
Very good point.
Getting the mind in a good place before you do this, you know, like if I'm going to lead a shamanic journey, sometimes, you know, people will, they're shocked that when they're coming in, it's almost time, and they're shocked when they're coming in. You know, I got disco music playing on my Bluetooth speaker. It's like, get happy, dance, get this negative energy off of you, be happy, and enjoy being here. Get your place, get your head, get your heart in the right place before you do this. And that's one of the biggest keys. Leave work at the door.
So that's kind of one of my things as well, as, you know, before going into doing any kind of readings, gallery readings, different presentations and such, you know, I'll be blasting, you know, pop, dance music, you know,
exactly,
in the club, getting your groove on sort of things.
Have fun.
And people look at me like, that's your meditation music? I'm like, hell yeah. You know, it's what speaks to you. I mean, for that matter, if you're doing this individual practice, if you death metal, if that's what you get your groove onto, I would say that would work as well.
Whatever works for you. Clear your mind and have some fun. Get happy for a few minutes, and then let's do a journey. It'll go much better, I promise you.
Excellent tip. So, okay. So while you're going on, while you're undergoing a journey, you know, is it standard practice, like, seek out a guide while you are journeying, or is that kind of, you know, you talked about doing group journeys and stuff like that. Do you kind of rely on the person running it, or do you seek out guides while in the journey? I'm kind of curious about this. We talk about spirit guides and, you know, guardian angels and such. And do you need a guide?
I would only set an intention for a guide if that's the purpose of your journey, to meet that guide or talk to that guide. I would not use a guide to take me there. You need to surrender a little more yourself. Listen to the person that's guiding you. Get into the rhythm of the drum and, not depend on another entity to take you there. You know, experience the journey. See where it takes you.
Okay, and this kind of goes to another along those same lines, because in mediumship, I teach about psychic self-defense and protection. Is there any kind of protectionary sorts of things that one should keep in mind when journeying? Are there dangers in journeying?
I teach there really is no dangers. You know, you don't have to do protection before you go there. I said earlier, you may meet a person, an ancestor, a guide, or whatever, that maybe just doesn't resonate with your energy today. And you have the option to say, you know, I don't want to talk to you today. You know, go away. I'm going to continue my journey. They're not going to hurt you. They're not going to come after you. The option is yours of who you want to talk with, interact with. There's nothing waiting there to attack you or get you.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about journeys as a practice. Like, is it beneficial to develop some like a routine? Like, you know, one of the things when I teach seance is the seance group, you meet together at the same time on the same days. You know, it's kind of a that level of a dedication, to kind of build that energy around that group. Is that kind of the same thing, building a routine like that around journeys, or is it something, how often can you do it? Is there a
journeys are
that
a spiritual practice. I mean, they are a spiritual practice. So yeah, a routine in doing this is going to be beneficial to you. You're going to learn more. You're going to heal more. I would, once a month, I think is a good, of how often to do this. You might could do it a couple of times a month. I wouldn't do it any more than that because, like anything, it can become an addiction. We don't want to get addicted to being in a non-ordinary reality. The purpose is to go there and to grow and to heal and then come back to the real world and work with that. So, yeah, but I think, once a month is good.
All right. Because I know, like when it comes to seance, you not only are you kind of training your energies to be primed and ready at that moment, your spirit is waiting for you and knows, hey, you know what, I'm going to have these people's undivided attention at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays, so it kind of, I guess that tracks with me is you can pick up where you left off if you've met somebody, et cetera, et cetera. That's excellent. What about the physical locations for yourself while you're journeying? You know, is there, I know with meditation and trance and such, you know, I tend to tell people, you know, let people know when you are going to be, if you practice trance, let people know when you're doing it so they don't just come in and shake you or anything of that
right.
nature, you know, and to tell people how to bring you back if for whatever reason, you know, if you're going for a couple hours and next thing you know, it's been like 6 hours and it's like, oh, hey, Reverend Art didn't come back out of that room, how to bring you back and things of that nature. So what kind of physical preparations should people take for undergoing journeys?
Well, you definitely want an environment where you're not going to be disturbed, as quiet as you can be, dark. You know, it's better to do this in the dark so you don't have any light in your eyes and so forth. Candles are good because, you know, flames, you know, mimicking that fire of the old days. But, you know, it doesn't have to be anywhere specific to do this, just a place where you can be comfortable and not, you know, undisturbed, no phones, no loud noises. And you bring up a good point about coming back. You know, you do have to come back, and you need to come back gently. So, you know, if you're doing your own journey, you kind of have to remember that in the back of your head that, you know, it's time for me to start coming back. And when you get there and you meet your guide or your power animal, you can ask them, will you remind me when it's time to go back? And they will. And then someone leading a journey, you know, a good leader of a journey will guide you to coming back. They'll tell you it's time we started our journey back, you know.
Excellent. Okay, this is actually a question that I've personally thought of. It's also in the chat. You know, are there people that should maybe avoid journeying? And the examples provided in the chat, you know, such as those people that have been diagnosed with, you know, schizophrenia or some sort of a psychological disorder. You know, this is one thing that I've been concerned about in not that I've been diagnosed. I mean, Reverend Art's a little zany, but hasn't quite tipped the crazy scale just yet, depending on who you talk to. But, you know, these are real life things to really kind of be concerned about as a practitioner, just in general. But, you know, should they avoid this practice?
Okay, I'm going to go out on the limb here and tell you my real opinion. No, they should not avoid it. You know, in shamanic thinking, shamanic world, it's like schizophrenia. Does that even really exist? Or are these people constantly experiencing the shamanic realm and they don't know how to navigate it or know what it is? There's a lot
That's
of research on
point.
That. You know, there's a lot of research on that, a lot of questions being asked. You know, is it a mental illness, or is that they are seeing and experiencing things that we're not? So I think that it would be excellent for them to go on a shamanic journey, and they may get some answers that they need, answers, you know, to things they hear and things they see and understand what's happening with them.
That I hadn't actually considered it from that angle. That's a very good point. Definitely something I feel that I'm going to be digging into much more myself now too. But it opens up a lot of questions, and I think a lot could actually come from studies along this.
So I would love to see some studies on that. I mean, if you think about the things we would see in non-ordinary reality, if you were to see that on a daily basis, just, you know, walking down the street or, you know, standing in your backyard, you wouldn't know how to navigate that because society would tell you you're mentally ill.
That's actually a very, I'm thinking back, you know, even to people, even in childhood, there was the individual that lived at the, you know, the other end of the block that everybody's always like, oh, you know, that person's knucking futz, you know, stay away from them. But were they just experiencing life differently? That's
exactly.
There's a level, that's a huge level of philosophy. I think this would actually be an excellent conversation for you, myself, and Doc Murphy to get together. I'm sure from an anthropological standpoint, she would have a lot to add to that. So another thing I've been curious about, because I've seen these promoted here and there, are journeys something that can be done, you know, via teleconference? Can they be done remotely?
I have never led one remotely. I've heard of people doing it. I have not attempted that. What I have done is being connected remotely with someone, like on Zoom, and then I go on a journey for them while we're connected. That's the most I've done with it.
So then, like relaying information from a trance state?
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah, I've often wondered because it seems like there'd be a lot of logistical things that you'd kind of want to. You'd have to be very creative with in doing it remotely. Or over like Zoom, Skype, what have you. Potentially that potential is there.
The potential is there, but I think you're going to lose that, you know, that tribal feeling. I just don't think you can capture that on a Zoom camera, you know?
You know, there's definitely something to be said about connection. About building a connection, whether you're leading a group or you're working within a group, you know, I think there's a part of me that really feels that's necessary. Another question in the chat. Have you ever heard of anyone who did not come back or from a journey?
I have never heard of that. I really don't know if it's happened, but I've never heard of it. I would probably relate that concept to the idea of becoming addicted to journeys.
That makes
and
sense.
And purposely staying there.
You know, I've been asked, you know, because in mediumship, there's also, you know, that trance state that can be achieved in connecting with spirit on you know, a physical plane. I've been asked myself, you know, have people ever been stuck in trance? And although I've not heard of that, I do know sometimes people stay a little bit longer than expected.
I've experienced that. In doing group journeys where, you know, we might have one that, you know, I have to go sit with them and talk to them, you know, one-on-one with them saying,
right.
You know, you need to come back. And it's probably just they were at a place they weren't ready to go yet. They were like, no, I don't want to leave yet. I'm right in the middle of getting my answers.
Right. Well, you know, I think one other question I do have, it's there in the chat too. I think Trollfee and I are sharing some brainwaves at the moment. You know, because I know we talked about, you know, using drums to kind of induce that trance state. You know, are there other kind of objects, magical objects, amulets, tools of some nature that can also be incorporated or further enhance the journeying?
Well, we use the drum, and you can use rattles just as well as you can a drum, but it's to create a rhythm. That's the trance state you want to get to, is a rhythm trance. Like I said, that's, you know, kind of equal to the heartbeat of the earth, of the universe. So, you know, I don't see where amulets or anything like that would really help you. I've never tried that. But in my thinking, no, I don't think they would.
You know, the hoodoo side's kicking and now thinking it's a psychic vision.
Right.
Incense. You know, think, you know, just bringing it all together. Well, we have, wow. This whole discussion has had me in a trance. I just realized we have about 40 seconds left in the show. Is there any final thoughts that you want to bring to the table?
You know, no, I think we covered everything. I even made notes on to talk about, you know, I just want to say before we go, I have enjoyed this. This is one of my favorite topics. So this has been great.
Well, we can most definitely,
hours.
You know, we can do this again and again. This, honestly, Reverend Roy, absolutely friggin' phenomenal discussion tonight. Definitely brought in a lot more perspective and a lot more understanding of shamanic journeying. And I definitely wish you and the Healing Amulet Mindfulness Center a wonderful future up there in Nashville. And we'll see you soon. But that's all the time we have for tonight, everybody. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us this evening. Until next time we meet, keep that magic alive. Take us out, Reverend James.
Thank you, Reverend Art, and thank you, Reverend Roy of the Healing Amulet Mindfulness Center in Nashville, Tennessee, for joining us this week. We invite you to join us next week when we'll be joined by Papa G of Papa G's Folk Magic Studio in Nashville, Tennessee. We've come to the end of this episode of Mystic Mages Magical Places and Magical Places, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, on the LMC Radio Network. You can find Reverend Art at folkconjure.com and at folkconjure on Facebook and Instagram, on the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, on readersandrootworkers.com, and on Hoodoo Psychics. I am your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from folkconjure.com in North Carolina. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archives via mysticsmages.com/radio show and on the Lucky Mojo Forum. For all of us at Mystics and Mages, I'd like to thank you for being here. Be sure to follow at Mystics Mages and Magical Places on Facebook and at Mystics Mages Magical Places on Instagram for updates and news. We'll be back next week at this same time. Come sit a spell. Wink, wink. Relax.
I think we lost Reverend James right there at the end. But thank you, everybody, for joining us this week. Again, Roy, fantastic discussion. You know, Papa G, I'm sure, is going to be bringing us a fantastic discussion next week, keeping me on the edge of my seat waiting to hear what that topic's going to be. But thank you, everybody. As always, many blessings.
Thank you, everybody.
For a wonderful week. We'll see you next week. Good night.